the Adventure Options Podcast. You want adventures and you have options. This week, I had the pleasure of interviewing Stephen Otto, who is one of the co-founders of Walks of Italy. That eventually became Take Walks. Stick around to find out how a broken scooter changed Stephen's life forever. As always, this podcast is sponsored by Adventure Writers. There are 4.6 billion web pages out there. How will yours stand out? Visit adventurewriters.agency for help. That's adventure, WRITERS.agency. Now for the show.
Stephen, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. I'm excited to hear all about your story. Why don't you tell our listeners kind of a little bit of your background in the adventure industry?
Well, I kind of got started in a pretty classic way. My parents were both in the travel industry. And so, you know, travel and adventure travel was part of my life from a very young age. And
what did they do?
Cruises, hotels, mostly. My mom had a travel agency. And my dad worked as a hotel executive all around, mostly California, a little bit up in Washington State and down to Cabo San Lucas. So we were traveling quite a bit growing up. And so I came by it honestly. You know, I didn't ever expect to be involved in travel. And, you know, early on, I kind of decided, no, I'm going to get into technology. Or I'm going to get into social sciences. And I kind of dabbled a bit with that. And after college, I, you know, kind of on a whim went out to go travel, backpack Europe, and ended up staying out there for 8 years. So, you know, kind of started a business there and got involved in tourism pretty early on.
Nice. What did you end up getting your degree in?
Yeah, it's a psychology, archaeology, and philosophy. So I kind of ran the gamut of the social sciences and did you know, a little bit of everything, but in some ways it's applicable. It's really applicable, social sciences and travel, because it's all about culture. It's all about exploration of yourself and others. And so, you know, it kind of was a natural fit and I think made a lot of sense for what I ended up getting into later, which was tours, activities, and experiences.
And the connectedness that people are looking for when they're traveling too, I imagine that helps that piece as well.
Absolutely. I think that people are kind of going more for that now than ever before. I mean, you know, people, if you ask them, like, why do you travel? Oh, I like to explore new places. But more and more now, it's about not just seeing some place, but really kind of having a deeper experience, having an authentic experience, meeting locals, staying at a local's apartment, you know, just a lot more connected than it used to be. You know, even when I was growing up, a lot more of the big package, large group, you know, mobile charter buses and cruises were kind of dominating force behind a lot of that kind of travel.
Definitely. Now, when you went backpacking, did you do this alone or were you going with people?
You know, I did it mostly alone. I would generally meet up with people. I'd meet along the way. You know, I had friends that would come out or, you know, do different segments. And some of those experiences I had traveling Europe and then later to South America, Central and South America, you know, especially some of the more kind of extreme or adventure style travel that I did was very much, you know, influential in why I decided to pursue, you know, the business I did and, you know, and eventually started a tour business in that sector.
And the business you started, the original one was Walks of Italy, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. So we kind of got involved. I was involved in sightseeing tours in Rome pretty early after I got to Rome.
As a tour guide or?
Yeah, as a tour guide. I was working, you know, I was really young when I got over there. I was about 20 or maybe I just turned 21. And so I was originally kind of doing various things with hostels. I was running pub crawls. I did some kind of like, you know, tours for students and things like that. And eventually kind of, you know, learn more and more and gave tours for various companies. And, you know, I really liked giving tours. I learned a lot. I did it for a few years, but, you know, I've migrated more to the business side and the technology side of it pretty early as well. So by the time Walks of Italy started, that we kind of began with that in 2009.
Who's we?
My business partner and I. We were he was a full-time guide and had a lot of clients already kind of requesting services. So we were trying to facilitate the easy bookability of that, which in 2009, that was pretty early for this sector. You know, there wasn't really a lot of book online in advance services and companies. So, you know, that was I guess we were an early mover in the space especially for the Italy market. So Walks of Italy grew really fast. And we had, you know, the sky was the limit. We tried to create new types of experiences that people had never done before. Some of which would have, you know, more of an adventure component than things that were out there at the time.
Who's your partner? What's his name?
Jason Spieler.
And how did you meet him?
We actually met at St. Peter's Square. He was he had a scooter, and he had just bought a new one, and his other one was broken, so he wanted to get rid of it. It was parked in some friend's property. So you know, somebody told me, oh, you know, you should go talk to Jason. And I'd kind of known him from guiding, and he was kind of frantic. He's like, I really need to get this scooter off this property. It's broken. So I was like, I'll take it. So it was you know, a free handover, and I went and wheeled it down a big hill in Trastevere, and moved it to a mechanic where we got it fixed up, and it ran for about 7 years. So it was actually my main form of transportation for most of the time I lived in Rome.
How do you go from, hey, I heard you have a free scooter, to let's start this really cool business?
Well, we immediately started traveling together. You know, when you're guiding, you kind of have to take breaks from time to time because you end up guiding so much back to back. And especially because it's very seasonal. So we decided to go to Latvia and kind of began our first, you know, discussions about starting a tour company and what that would look like and what we'd want it to be. Then we kind of started working together from like mostly a guiding perspective. I would pass him clients. He'd pass me clients when he was busy or had been overbooked. And then, you know, we kind of decided that I would go and spend time building the initial website. And we would start, you know, in the evenings working on kind of the branding and things like that. And really it kind of came together just through sheer force of will and taking a lot of time to give thought to what kind of services we wanted to offer and how to do it.
And I think I read on your bio that you are kind of the tech guru behind the company. Is that true?
Yeah. So, I mean, I had a background in technology. I worked in some technology companies when I was younger. You know, since we started, it's evolved so much, and I've had to kind of keep in the know enough to be dangerous, but I'm no longer able to keep up with the level of development that's needed to be successful today.
You have a tech background, you have a psychology background, you have background. You're just missing medical.
That's right. Yeah, I can't heal a wound to save my life, but to save anybody's life. I've got a pretty, you know, good fit for this type of business. And then Jason was focused on finding the best guides and creating the network around the guides, which really are the root of the business. You know, this is the face of the business. This is who you meet when you travel. So, and it really what we were onto early on was something that would become more and more prominent in the most, you know, in the recent years, which is not just finding a guide, but it was finding the right guide for the right service. We were trying to work with people who had a particular background or affinity for, let's say if they're doing a tour of Pompeii, that they grew up around there, that they have studied archaeology versus, you know, that person is going to be very different than the person who leads a food tour and takes you to the markets, or, you know, that maybe is a specialist in art history and restoration in a museum gallery. So we were trying to find more like specialists that would fit personalities, and more like a tour personality, really. You know, each tour we offer has such a different, you know, different offer, right? You know, you can do a hands-on food tour, or you can climb up Mount Vesuvius with a volcanologist, which is more of a kind of adventure style tour. So in the Italy product line, we were very experimental early on with what kind of services we'd offer.
That's really cool. And I'm assuming Walks of Italy is walking tours?
It started like that. It was initially, and still the root of it is walking tours. So whether you're walking in the city, or we've expanded the portfolio so much. So Italy covers about like 70, 80 products. So we're talking anywhere from, you know, a museum walk to a city walk to outside archaeological sites. And then we also do food markets and things like that. So most of those are primarily on foot. But we have boat tours. We do boat tours of Venice. We do a lot of day trips. So day trips from Rome to Pompeii or Rome to Amalfi Coast. We go up to Tuscany. We do Florence into the Siena, San Gimignano area, or from Venice to Verona. So the Italian tour line is still, you know, pretty varied. I mean, so everything has some walking component. Like, you're never just starting at some place and not going anywhere. Probably the least walking would be in something like our cooking class. We have some cooking classes that we do in a few different cities. And those are, yeah, there's always, you're going to have to walk up to the rooftop terrace. But really, the idea of walks are meant to be more a replacement for the idea of a classic tour, where this is more on a city level. You're going deeper. You're really seeing something from the ground level and experiencing it. And I think there's no better way than to meet a local and take a walk to experience the city. And the idea is that, you know, this is instead of going on a, you know, which there are still many good ones, but going on like maybe a large charter bus, or, you know, which is going to have somebody in a microphone in the front and you kind of checklist a bunch of things, or, you know, maybe more of the hop on hop off style, you know, visitation, which still has its place, but this is meant to be kind of an evolved, you know, more deeper exploration than that.
So how did you get into that idea of the walking? What was the motivation or the catalyst behind wanting to do that kind of offering?
Well, we saw that there was, you know, more and more interest for people to have memorable experiences and kind of go a little bit deeper than they were, than were out there. I mean, you figure, you know, a lot of people in the 80s and 90s were buying travel through their travel agents. It was a lot of all-inclusive packages, a lot of multi-day. So, you know, there wasn't much variability from an experience perspective of what you could do, and there weren't a lot of options. And since we saw that, like, people were moving to buying their flights, hotels, car rentals, things a la carte, even train tickets, we were trying to say, well, you know, the real goal of people traveling is to experience the place they're going. And so, you know, you find that people are a little less, let's say, price conscious. And when it comes to their experiences, they're more, you know, they want to make sure they get the best experience. So things like being in a small group become important and valuable, worth investing in, or, you know, getting your tickets pre-included in advance and not having to worry about it the day of for various attractions that might have long lines. So, you know, really for us, it was, how can we, you know, put together an experience that kind of captures what people were trying to see in the best possible way? So when they weigh that versus, well, I'll just figure it out when I get there, it's a clear no-brainer. And a lot of times the experiences we build are actually intended to be even more cost-effective. So with our day trips, for example, if you wanted to go and take yourself from, you and your family from Rome down to Naples and Pompeii and then out to the Amalfi Coast, you wouldn't be able to physically do it in a day, or the price would be so sensitive because the cost of the various components. Whereas if you're in a small group of 15, 18, you know, then that price can come down. So there's a little bit of a benefit that can get passed back to the consumer if, you know, they're willing to share that group experience with others, which, you know, I think in a lot of ways makes it better.
Well, and you can meet some new friends and mm-hmm. and things that maybe you wouldn't have if you weren't forced into a little bit of a social situation.
Right, so, right. And again, it's better than, you know, this is compared to a 50, 60 person group size, right? You know, that's the idea, is that we wanted it to be small group, more approachable. You have time to meet your guide, but time to meet others. It feels a little less overwhelming that way.
So why Italy?
Well, you know, Italy, it's funny. I actually have Italian background. My grandfather and his family came over from Sicily. So there was some connection there. Also, having studied a lot of the humanities and being really interested in art and archaeology was a big part of that as well. Yeah, I really just fell in love with it when I was there. You know, I spoke fluent Italian, and it just kind of, it's a place that draws you in and it's hard to leave. But I did end up leaving and moved back to the U.S. and, you know, obviously we ended up leaving the Italy business and growing much larger. So now the company still, of course, is rooted and has its heart in Italy, and the majority of our services are there. but we still are expanding now, and we're in a number of destinations. So we went out to the U.S. and we're in a few cities in the U.S., New York and San Francisco. We went out to Istanbul, and then we were Paris, Barcelona, London, Madrid. You know, so we've really been expanding the product line over the years.
And all of that is under the website?
TakeWalks.com. It's a fairly new site. So yeah, we along the whole way, we've been kind of promoting a style of travel where Take Walks has been our mantra. It's our hashtag, and you can follow it on Instagram and Twitter, and you'll see a lot of Take Walks from our clients and you know, our guests in various cities post with that. And so we decided to kind of centralize, because we were in so many destinations, it didn't make sense to maintain so many different sites, that we thought, well, let's bring everything under one house, one banner, one logo, one name. So Take Walks became the site where all our products are listed now. So you can find, you know, about 150, 160 services across our 12 destinations. We're opening new destinations. So next year we'll have services running in New Orleans and Athens. So, you know, it's continuing to grow. And with that same mindset of the smaller group travel, the experiential component, the top attractions that you want to see if you're kind of on a checklist, but with a little bit of a deeper element or a little bit of a twist.
I bet the New Orleans one would be really interesting, actually.
Yeah, I'm actually heading out there later this year. I've spent a lot of time there. Incidentally, my business partner, his family's originally from there. So we've gone quite a bit together out to Louisiana and to New Orleans. And I think it's just a really great city. It can kind of showcases the best of American kind of richness of culture and, you know, where there's something really different about it, you know, in the kind of way that certain European cities just stand out with, like, you know, how different they are than everything else. In New Orleans, you kind of get that feeling in the U.S. So I'm excited to bring that into the Walks portfolio.
I feel like we're doing it injustice calling it New Orleans and not Nolens.
Yeah. Well, you know, it depends on who you ask. You know, everybody likes to throw the Nolens out there. I think it's, I think if you go spend some time down there, you'll just fall in love with the characters in the city. It's
and the food.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You got to get some gator bites. You got to try some crawfish etouffee. You know, the jambalayas and, yeah, I feel moufalata sandwich and so many good things down there. I'm a big fan.
I'm assuming you've been to most of the places, at least that you do these tours at.
Yep.
Which one is your favorite?
Well, you know, my heart's still in Rome. I gotta say it's really, you can, I think it's got the deepest and widest breadth of things to do. And, you know, for anybody, it's just such a great place to experience travel. I would say right now I've had some, you know, I'm going to betray myself here a little bit and say that, you know, I've been really spending a lot more time in France, and like Italy captured me years ago, I think, I've kind of gotten sucked into the French, you know, mindset when it comes to travel right now. I've done a lot more day trips in France. We now offer 4 day trips outside of Paris. So over to Champagne, to Bordeaux, to Mont-Saint-Michel, and to Versailles, and we're adding a new one to Loire next year. So I've been real busy since we launched Paris in trying to explore those places. And I just think it has a lot of that same character and richness that Italy has. So right now I'm going to say Bordeaux is on the top of my list. I think it's such a great area to visit. It's got a lot of the same charm of Tuscany, a lot more, you know, it's very built up, you know, the Grand Chateaus, and it's so easy to get to from Paris now with the new high-speed train. It's only 2 hours, and you cross the entire country. I think I've been on a faster train before to go that far. So we actually take that high-speed train on our Bordeaux from Paris service. So you're in Bordeaux right first thing in the morning, and you know you're tasting wine pretty early too. So you got to keep that in mind.
That's why you like it so much.
That's exactly right. Yeah, yeah. It is an adventure. I'll tell you that. You come back from Bordeaux. Totally, you know, well, let's say you're a little buzzed, but you're also just enchanted by the beautiful countryside and the people out there. We meet some real characters, some winemakers on the tour that are very memorable.
Have you run into any issues in any of the countries that you've tried to get into business-wise, coming from a business standpoint?
Yeah, of course. Italy has a, you know, again, where my roots are, Italy can be very difficult to work with in a kind of a bureaucracy. Some of the logistics there can be difficult. We've been managed to get really lucky and work with great people and great sites and have good relationships. But, you know, early on, especially before Walk started, there was a lot more kind of territorial elements to Italy. In fact, there was a, it was the subject of a show I did with the National Geographic and became a Netflix show called Scam City, where there were various on the ground kind of opposing forces that made business difficult. So that was an interesting experience. And that was really sort of early on when we were still selling services on the ground as opposed to an online focused business. And then, you know, working in Turkey was probably the biggest challenge of my business career, not just from a bureaucratic or like a business standpoint, but also from some of the unfortunate events that happened during the course that we were in Istanbul. You know, we had to deal with everything from, you know, various attacks to the coup and tanks running around the street. And unfortunately, we had to put that market on hold because it was just too intense. We had there was a bomb that went off by our meeting point not long after our group had left. So that, you know, that was a few years ago. Istanbul is still one of my favorite places in the world to visit. I highly recommend people to go there. Even now, I would have not gone for maybe the year and a half or so after all those events were happening. But yeah, I still feel like it's one of the greatest cities you can ever travel to. And I really do love the place. And I hope we can get back there when things are a little more stable. But, you know, so this is this is part of the world and travel, you know, you get to see some of that stuff up close, and I think it's, you'll always be better for it, but you also have to be mindful of, you know, situations like that.
I think it's on your website. You talk about FIT Adventure.
FIT is usually for the independent traveler. And so that's kind of an acronym for people who, you know, aren't looking to buy into a package, but are instead looking to more curate their holiday and do something a little more personalized. So that's what the FIT stands for in that regard.
Is it just an acronym, or is it an actual like association, or?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's an acronym used kind of in the industry, in the travel industry, for a kind of business that proposes services to independent travelers. So, you know, you might be a travel agent, but you might focus your business on FIT as opposed to focusing it on Disney packages, for example. If I had to say what were some of the most formative experiences, I mean, we grew up about 90 minutes from San Diego, in North County, San Diego, from Disneyland. And so I spent so much time growing up going to Disneyland. We went a few times a year. And in fact, so much so that I'm going later this month for my birthday, where I'm going with my family out to Disney World.
Well, happy early birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very excited. I don't know how many 35 year olds would choose to go to Disney World, but I am that guy.
I see a partnership developing here. Walks of Disney.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there, Disney people, if you're listening.
Yeah, well, you know, we actually do a Disney partnership experience in New York, Disney Theatrical, which runs the Aladdin on Broadway and The Lion King and all of those shows, Frozen right now. They actually have a theater called the New Amsterdam, which is one of the most beautiful and historic theaters in Broadway. And we are the operator that takes you inside the theater for a tour. So it's a very special access experience. And you do a tour of Broadway, then you go in and you actually get to play with some of the Disney props from the various shows, including Lion King masks and Ariel's bathtub and various things like that. So you can, it's a very hands-on experience, and it's great to work with them. But as you said, I would love to do more in Disney at the parks, and I love everything that they do. I think they have such a high quality, you know, offering in travel especially.
So I always like to end these by asking what piece of advice you would leave for today's traveler or today's adventurer. What piece of advice would you give them?
I would say that, you know, definitely give yourself the time. That's the thing that I think that people want to do so much that they kind of tend to overplan and over, they try to visit too many places and see too many things in a short period of time. And I know what that like feels like, and I've done it. But I think that you'll end up having a more memorable and more impactful experience if you, you know, go to a couple of places and really stay and spend the time there and get to know a few people or a few places that where they remember you, you know, 5-7 days at least in a destination. And then of course you can day trip from there, but I'm much more of a proponent of going to one place and seeing as much as you can there, and rather than trying to spend 1 or 2 days in many, many places, because it all tends to run together and, you know, you end up spending a lot of your time in transit and logistics, and you kind of lose that sense that you get of once you're comfortable in a place and you get to know the area around you, that's when the best experiences really happen, I think. And when you have that one, you know, this was the thing that you take away from that place, or you know that you're in that moment where you're in the bar after it's closed with all the locals, or where you're out to a meal with you know, somebody you met in the morning on a trip. And you know, that's where I think that people come away with the most adventure, or they get a recommendation to go and visit this, you know, unknown or hidden gem. And you find that when you stay. So I think that's really the best advice I could give, is to try to give yourself enough time to experience a place, especially if you're going to some places culturally rich and as large and as vast as like a Rome or a Naples or a Paris or a Venice or, you know, London. I think it's really worth staying there for a period of time.
That is a great piece of advice. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a lovely morning chatting with you. I want to encourage everyone to go visit takewalks.com. And take a walk.
Hey, Shayna here. I enjoyed my time with Steven. And a few takeaways for me. We need to slow down and enjoy one place at a time. Also, the right guide for the right tour can make all the difference. Visit adventurewriters.agency to join my mailing list and get updates when a new episode airs. Until next time, ciao.